Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord God Almighty, we are thanking you for being here this morning with us. We are thanking you for our lives, Father God Almighty. We are thanking you for what you give us, Father God. Life in its full as you give it to us, Father God. Thank you for the beautiful rain this morning, Father God, giving us a fresh day, Lord God Almighty, with clean air, Lord. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for the city, Hong Kong, Father God. Thank you for Solomon Sport here in Hong Kong, Father God Almighty. Thank you for this congregation, Father God. Thank you for my brethren here being with me this morning, Lord. And thank you, Father God Almighty, for serving us through your word. Father God, I just want to submit, Lord God Almighty, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's a privilege this morning to speak with you and to share a word with you that I believe Father's rested on my heart. It also happens to be the topic that I'm speaking on is sacrifice. And it also happens to be a topic that we as the men's leadership, the men's leader group, have been pondering about with regards to our upcoming men's retreat. And it will also be the center theme for the men's retreat, sacrifice. So I thought it would be good perhaps just to look at the base of the word sacrifice, where it comes from, what it means, and just perhaps a small reflection of how it was enacted upon in the Old Testament versus the New Testament, and just to get a better understanding of the word sacrifice. Obviously, the word sacrifice for us as Christians, we come across many times in the Bible. We read a lot about it. Many a Bible story since we were kids, stories have been shared about around sacrifice. There are various degrees of sacrifice. But before we go any further and before we go into the word, let's perhaps just look at what the dictionary says sacrifice is. Sacrifice is an act of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession or as an offering to a deity. Christ's offering himself in the crucifixion and then also an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. So that's what the dictionary says. Even the dictionary refers to Christ, to the Bible. But let's look at the purpose of sacrifice in the Old Testament. Symbolism of Old Testament of the sacrifice is blood sacrifice. From sacrifices to covenants of individuals and the nation of Israel, blood was pivotal to their relationship with God. The caution attached to blood. Sacrifice was an offering of food, objects, or the lives of animals or humans to a higher purpose, in particular divine beings, as an act of worship. While sacrifice often implies the ritual of killing an animal, the term offering in Latin, oblatio, can be used for bloodless sacrifice of food or artifacts as well. But we all know that a great reference with regards to sacrifice is always the reference to the lamb. There's always a reference made to the lamb, a lamb that is used as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering. And so where does this lamb thing come from? Well, it is considered by the learned individuals, biblical scholars, that, and I suppose also from a logical perspective, that most people in that age, in that day and age, they measured their treasure with their livestock. So the livestock was a measure of their treasure. So if your livestock was the measure of your treasure, then obviously when you make a sacrifice, it needs to speak and it needs to take of your treasure. Because a sacrifice inherently means to give something of value. It means to give something that means a lot to you. It means to part ways with something that you don't necessarily want to do, but you do it out of obedience. You do it as an act of your commitment. But the one thing that is very special about the lamb is the fact that because the lamb is such an obedient animal, the lamb was the lamb in its act, when a lamb goes to the sacrifice or to be slaughtered, the lamb is not like other animals that makes a big noise and kicks up a big fight. The lamb just follows. The lamb, when it's being taken to in a South African context where I'm from, there's lots of competitions where they shear the lamb as well because of the wool, because lamb gets sheared for the wool. But then they have competitions in shearing the lamb. And the lamb will not even make a sound up until the time when the shearer actually starts shearing the lamb. Then it'll start perhaps making a sound. But then the shearer grabs the lamb by the throat and the lamb is just there. The lamb is just, he's being sheared because there's no threat. However, when the lamb is being slaughtered, the only time it makes a sound is when it is actually being slaughtered. So there's no opposition from the lamb. And then the lamb also had the significance that you would get an all-white lamb. So all-white is always a distinguishing mark for being clean, like a bride. That's why our brides wear white, because it's clean. They are clean, clean in the eyes of the Lord, and presenting themselves clean before the audience in front of whom they're going to make a commitment for their lives. So that's why the lamb. However, there's a scripture in Isaiah 53:7 that reads, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so did he not also open his mouth." And that is Jesus Christ. And that's why the reference of the lamb. So I just thought I'd say that straight. But what is the purpose of sacrifice? I mean, we have various and varying degrees of our interpretation of sacrifice, but in my research, in my study for today's word, what I've come about is that sacrifice is about forgiveness of the sin of man, about our salvation. That's in the New Testament. It's about Jesus, who emphasizes his voluntary spirit in making the sacrifice. It's about the Son of Man who came to give his life as ransom. Not being killed, but to give his life as ransom. The sacrifice was voluntary and not compulsory. God did not force Jesus Christ to lay down his life. Jesus Christ chose to do so. He said, "Lord, may your law be fulfilled." He did ask if this cup could run him by, but if it's your will, Lord, so be it. And he sacrificed. But to underpin the understanding of sacrifice, I suppose, let's get to the elementary level. I'm making reference to a man of a story that I read about a man who was driving with his granddaughters in his motor vehicle. The names are Bayla and Susie. As he was driving, he was looking into his rearview mirror, and he realized, oh man, how did this conversation with my granddaughter so quickly moved from counting cows in the pastures and to defining sacrifice? Where did you hear that word? Sacrifice being the word, Bayla, the granddad asked. She said, "Choir, grandpa. We were singing songs yesterday, and we said that word in the songs." We hear the word sacrifice a lot in the church, as I've said earlier, and we read it in the Bible too. But the Bible tells us Jesus was a sacrifice because he loves us so much. So 4-year-old Bayla scrunched her nose and said, "Grandpa, I don't know what that word means." So Grandpa Joe replied, "Okay, what if you and Susie made some cookies? You took some of the cookies to your neighbors and then you came home, and you both of you ate one cookie before you left. But when you came back, there was only one cookie left. And the both of you wanted that cookie." And then Bayla quickly replied, "Oh, we could split it in half." And Susie said, "Yeah, we could split it in half, Grandpa." And he says, "But what about if you wanted the whole thing?" And then they looked at each other and they thought, like, Susie or me? And he said, "No, both of you wanted the whole cookie." And they said, "Oh, I don't know, Grandpa." And then he said, "Okay. You would look at your sister and you said to your sister, 'You really want this cookie, don't you, Susie? And because you love Susie so much, Bayla, you would then say, Susie, why don't you have the whole cookie?' So you are sacrificing the cookie. You are sacrificing your desire for the cookie to have your, for your sister's desire. Then Balaam said, oh, now I understand sacrifice. Sacrifice is because of love. And the grandpa said, yes, sacrifice is because of love. I mean, even today, we as adults, we struggle with sacrifice. I am currently going through a struggle of sacrifice myself. Father God, everybody of you know that my family and I will be relocating back to South Africa in December. She was just to think there's only 3 months left. Lord have mercy. It is an emotional issue. We've become so close, and especially because of this house, Solomon's Porch, we've grown relationships here. And it feels like a sacrifice, but it's not. Father told us we are coming here for, and we knew we came here for a period, but we've got to go home. But that's not the sacrifice, because that's not sacrifice. That was just fact. But we are leaving in the middle of the school year for my son who's in his final year. And that brings a challenge to itself. So I don't know what the answer is going to be with regards to this. But when I was praying about this and trying to find a solution, because the school year starts in the beginning of the year in South Africa, so when we go back, Arlen will be in the middle of his final year. However, the school year just starts in South Africa. So we were praying, and the Lord asked me a question. I got a question in my mind. I thought it was a question. I didn't think it was the Lord. I thought it was Satan, as a matter of fact. And the question that arose in my heart was, what kind of a father are you if you're not willing to make a sacrifice? Now, that I didn't think that was Satan. I thought, that's a deep question. And I said, well, Lord, I'll ponder on that. The next thought that came to mind, I thought that was Satan. I heard this thing saying, sell all that you have. Now, if anybody who knows me closely would know that when I buy property, I don't want to sell it. I had the privilege of being in the teachings of Dr. Miles Monroe. And one sermon that he preached one day, he said, of all the things that God creates, God does not create more land. So whenever you get hold of land, don't let go of it. And I thought to myself, oh, I don't understand this fully, but this is what I'm going to do. I made a vow. I'm going to hold on to land. I made a promise to myself. So when this question arose that I must sell everything that I have, because the question that came was about selling properties that I have, that we have, my wife and I have. And I don't know what the purpose of it is. At first, I thought I must sell the property so that I can leave my son here in Hong Kong, because it's very expensive earning South African rands and having to pay Hong Kong, expensive Hong Kong dollars for school in a private school here. Because the same education that he gets here in a private school, I'll be able to get in a private school in South Africa for about a fifth of the price. Then I'm at one of the very good schools. So then I thought, okay, maybe that's the purpose. I'm not sure yet, but in obedience we acted and we went back home. And we put our properties up for sale now in July. And by the grace of God, one property already sold and we got a cash buyer for the one. Because we also still have to buy another home where we must go live. So there needs to be a balance here. And I don't know what the other properties, other two are up for sale. And I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But what I'm trying to say is that without knowing what the outcome is going to be, we needed to make that obedient call to sacrifice what Father said, sacrifice. So we are walking out that journey in faith. And the reason why I said that colorful story now is just to come to the scripture of Abram in Genesis 22, verses 1 to 2, where God instructs Abram and he says, Abram. And Abram replied, here am I. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. And we all know the story of Abram. Abram acted in obedience. He took his son Isaac. And when he got to the place where God had shown him, God provided a sacrificial lamb. That is not always the case about sacrifice. We don't always get to say, yes, Lord, and that is not the prime example of, and it's a prime example, but it's not the only example of sacrifice, where God asks of us to sacrifice something, And that's going to be the outcome, because God is not a carbon copy God. He doesn't work the same. Although he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he doesn't work every situation the same. God is unique. God is he comes with a new thing every day, with a new thing in every situation. So as much as God gave us Abram the sacrificial lamb, if we go to Judges 11, this is a story we hardly hear. We seldom read of this story. I don't know how many of you know about the story of Jephthah, the ninth judge. Does anybody know the story of Jephthah? Okay, there's a few heads that's nodding. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a brave warrior. He was a son of a prostitute. Gilead was the father of Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore him sons, not the prostitute, his wife, bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall not have an inheritance in our father's house, because you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And worthless and unprincipled men gathered around Jephthah and went out on raids with him. We can gather that Jephthah was a man about town, and Jephthah had, you know, he was obviously a very strong guy and influential guy, and people followed him. But then several years later, it happened that after a while that the Ammonites fought against Israel. When the Ammonites fought against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to go get Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, "Come and be our leader so that we may fight against the Ammonites." But Jephthah said to them, to the elders of Gilead, "Did you not hate me and drive me out of your city? Did you not drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come here when you are in trouble?" And then the elders said to Jephthah, "This is why we have turned to you now, so that you may go with us and fight the Ammonites and become head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If you take me back to fight against the Ammonites and the Lord gives them over to me, will I really become your head?" The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord is our witness between us. Be assured, then what we have said is true." Then Jephthah went with the elders to Gilead, and the people made him head leader over them. And then Jephthah repeated everything that he had promised before the Lord at Mizpah. And then many things transpired, and I'm skipping quite a bit, and you can read a lot of that for yourself, but I'm picking up the scripture again on verse 29. "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh and Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed on the Ammonites. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, 'If you will give the Ammonites into my hand, then whatever comes out of my doors at my house to meet me, I will return in peace from the Ammonites, and that shall be the Lord's offering. I will burn it up as the Lord's offering.' Then Jephthah crossed over to the Ammonites and fight with them, and the Lord gave them into his hand. And from Arur to the entrance of Minnith, he struck them, 20 cities as far from Abel Karamim, the brook of the vineyard, with a very great defeat. So the Ammonites were subdued and humbled before the Israelites." Now here's the telling bit. "When Jephthah came home, when he came to his house at Mizpah, and this is what he saw: his daughter coming out with tambourines and dancing, and she was his only child. Except for her, he had no son or daughter. And when he saw her, Jephthah tore his clothes from his body in grief and said, 'Oh, alas, my daughter, you have brought me great disaster, and you are the cause of ruin to me. I have made a vow to the Lord, and I cannot take it back.' And she said to him, 'My father, you have made a vow to the Lord. Do to me as vowed, since the Lord has taken vengeance for you on your enemies, the Ammonites.'" So clearly his daughter was of a mature age for her having expressed these words and saying the things that she've said. And then her father said to her, and then she said to her father, "Father, grant me one thing. Let one thing be done for me. Let me alone for 2 months, so that I may go to the mountains and weep over my virginity." Virginity in the sense that she was not married yet. "I and my companions." And then he said to her, "Go." And he sent her away for 2 months. And she left with her companions and wept They wept for virginity on the mountains. Again, not being married, because she knew that she was going to die without getting married. And at the end of the 2 months, she returned to her father, who did to her as he vowed. And she had no relations with a man. And it became custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to tell the story of the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in the year. So Jephthah made a vow and he stuck to that vow. Abram also said to the Lord that he'll obey the Lord. And the Lord gave him a sacrificial lamb. But father didn't give a sacrificial lamb to Jephthah. Jephthah followed through and he had to sacrifice his daughter. It's a sad story, but it's a story of faith. And we all know that the story of faith in the Old Testament is a lot more harder than what it is in the New Testament. And that is thanks to Jesus. Because Jesus came, the story of sacrifice is a lot lighter and it's a lot more relational. But what is the principle of sacrifice that is captured in both the stories of Abram and the story of Jephthah? One very important principle is that God must be first in everything. God has got to be first when we think about sacrifice. Several offerings of the Israelites illustrate this. It's the offering of the firstborn and the first fruit. The best had to be given to God. Even before the Israelite farmer could have a taste, the first pressing of the olives had to go to God's temple. Or to for the menorah. When the fruit trees were planted, one had to wait 3 years before harvesting the fruit. And then in the fourth year, all of the fruit had to be given to God, as per Leviticus 23-25. It was God's way of teaching us his patience and faith. Also imagine waiting in anticipation for the cow to have a calf, and then realizing that this precious firstborn had to be offered, because that's the first fruit. It's the offering of the firstborn. That was how it was in the Old Testament. King David once said, "I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." Because in the way the farmers lived and how farmers still live today, I suppose it's more cosmopolitan, if I can make use of that word. But they had to wait for the fruit, for the field to yield harvest before they could have anything to eat. And yet when the first thing came, that very first thing that came, that for which they waited so long, they had to give that to the Lord first. Something that they wanted and waited for. So obviously before the thing was there, they loved it because it's the thing that's going to sustain life for them. That they had to give up. They had to give up that. However, they didn't forgo that. They sacrificed it. In the Old Testament, we also are being taught about the tithe. But there was more than just the tithe. After the tithe, there was the sabbatical year. When one lived in an agricultural society and didn't farm his land 1 year out, every seven, there is effectively another 14.2%. You know, as the learned scholars have calculated that, another 14.2% offered to God. This does not consider that on the sabbatical, all Hebrew slaves were freed and all debts to fellow Hebrews were canceled out. That's according to Deuteronomy verses 1 and 12. That also does not consider the fact that when they harvested, they did not harvest the corners of their fields or go back for second pickings. So that was to allow the slaves and the poor to come and have something to eat as well. That was seen as another 14.2% of production. That does not consider the fact that there was a year of Jubilee every 50 years. That in that time, that all property that you have lost was given back to you by the person who rightfully gained it from you, perhaps through a bad transaction or whatever, but then having have to give it back to you. So we clearly see that, and the scholars again calculated this. I don't know how they did that, but all of these things, if it was factored all together, it could easily come to 50 to 60% of one's earnings as an Israelite farmer. Now, when we give our tithe, we think that's a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. When we give our tithe, that's the least. It's the least of what we give. And I'm not saying sacrifice is about the tithe, but I'm just making reference to the tithe. We also know that in those days in Jerusalem, they were forbidden to appear before the Lord empty-handed. They had to bring animals from their flocks each time. Then there were the whole offerings of cereal offerings, drink offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, and trespass offerings, as read about in Leviticus. All these offerings could easily add another 10% to one's family's income. It immediately becomes apparent that sacrifice brings out real faith, because one cannot make offerings like that through logic. Logic is not going to explain that. Logic is not going to explain how do you give up so much of yourself, how do you give so much of your family's value, how do you give up so much of your family's possessions, how do you give so much of your family's food, of your family's provision, and expect to still provide for them. It clearly indicates it's an act of faith. Unlike the heathens around them, the Israelites had to live by faith. They were constantly selecting their best animals, even choice breeding stock, to offer to God, while the heathen were hoarding theirs and attempting to increase their flocks. Strangely but true, in the end, it was the Hebrews whose flocks increased, until they were the envy of all neighbors. Even till today, the Jewish nation is known to be prosperous. When you go to Jewish communities all over the world, in America, in Poland, in the UK, wherever you go, they tend to prosper. Yeah, sure, there are those who don't prosper as the other well-known Jews. But you'll find, I'm sure, I don't have the statistics for this, but I am certain about it because I've worked in a very big Jewish community in Johannesburg in South Africa. We've got a very big Jewish community as well in South Africa, not just in Johannesburg, all over the country, but there's a very big one in South Africa. And I worked amongst them. I was a consultant to some of their businesses there. And I tell you what, those people prosper. How they take care of their poor, they prosper. So even till today, they are known as a nation that prospers because of the sacrifices, I presume, they make. Sacrifices we can still make. The concept of sacrifice is not passed away. Real religion, real Christianity, real faith still requires of us to sacrifice. In response to the all-important sacrifice of Christ, which was made for our salvation, where God sacrificed His Son, for our redemption. Not only did He sacrifice His Son, and one could easily say, but Jephthah sacrificed his daughter. Remember, Jephthah's daughter was born like any other human being, creation of man. However, Christ was the creation of God. He was without sin, without blemish. There was no reason for Him to die. But He took the sacrifice of the cross so that we can have salvation. And for that, we should be evermore be thankful. Then there's also the scripture that urges us in Romans 12 verses 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Meaning that our lives must resemble that of a sacrifice. Sacrifice is an act of spiritual worship. Yeah, you might argue, how can you say if I must give up my house or if I must give up my car or whatever that's an act of worship. Giving to God with an open heart, with a joyful heart, is an act of worship. So when I give my offering in church on Sunday, and I give it with a joyful heart, then it's a sacrifice. It's an act of worship. But when I give with a bitter heart, a heart of not being open and not being thankful, then it's just money that I'm giving. Then it can't be seen as an act of worship. Then it can't be seen, then it's just something of value that I'm giving away for the sake of, so that I can be part of this clique that's called Christians. So sacrifice is part of our DNA. Sacrifice is part of who we ought to be. Sacrifice needs to be part of our lives. Just another short testimony, and not that sacrifice, but it's just to demonstrate about something, again, about sacrifice. A testimony about my wife. A few years ago, my wife wanted to have a new wardrobe of clothes. My wife loves clothes. I suppose all wives do. I also love clothes, but I think my wife loves it a little bit more than me. And she wanted to have a new wardrobe. And she prayed about it, and we didn't have the finances to just get a new wardrobe. And she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said, I can't give you anything new because there's no space in your cupboard. And then my wife decided to hand about 75% of her clothes away. Oh man, I shuddered. I shuddered. And there was a few projects coming in. My business was beginning to do well again. And I thought, oh Lord, now I know why you've given me these projects, so that I must buy my wife a new wardrobe. Oh, ye of little faith. That's who I was at that time. And I was like, because there's so many things that still needed to get done with the money that I was going to make on this new project that I was doing. I was just praying. I was in the Middle East, and I get a daily allowance as well from my clients pay me a daily allowance as well. And what I normally do with my daily allowance, I use that's other than my payment for doing the work. I normally save up my daily allowance and I buy gifts for everybody at home, and I buy clothes and toys and, you know, for the family. We refer to them as year dears. The reason why they are called year dears is when you get home, you give a gift and you say, year dear, this is for you. So then I use all my money to buy year dears. And on that trip, I didn't buy anything because I thought, man, my wife wants a new wardrobe. And in her giving away, she made an announcement at church and amongst the friends, and people came to her house, and she allowed them to go into a wardrobe and select whatever they wanted. And I thought to myself, my wife is crazy. But lo and behold, to cut a long story short, it was not even 2 months. My wife had a new, full new wardrobe. And I don't know where the money came from. It didn't come from the project that I went on. Somehow, there was a gift where somebody said, come to my store, someone that she knew, and people gave her, and the Lord just provided, and other finances came as well, but the Lord just provided, and 2 to 3 months later, my wife's wardrobe was full again, new clothes. So one could easily think that sacrifice is for the gain of something. Yeah, I suppose to the furthest degree, one could say that. But I want to beg to differ. That in my revelation that I received in studying sacrifice over this past few days, that sacrifice is not about gaining anything. But sacrifice is about demonstrating everything. It is my belief that the scripture that I always love so much only became a reality to me in this last few days of study. I love the scripture in James 4 verse 8, where it reads in, I think it's the King James version that reads, draw nearer to nigh and I will draw nearer to thy. Where the Lord says, come closer to me and I'll come closer to you. To get close to the Lord, we need to sacrifice. And sacrifice doesn't always equate to pain or death, but we need to sacrifice. Sacrifice, however, always equates to laying down of something. Sacrifice always equates to giving up something that you value in your life. Sacrifice always means it's because of love, like Baylor discovered when a grandpa gave her the teaching of the cookies. Let's be like Baylor and Susie, who learned from the grandpa, that because I love my sister so much, because I love my brother so much, because I love my community so much, Because I love my pastor so much. Because I love my church so much. Ultimately, because I love the Lord my God so much, I'm willing to give up something that is of great value and worth to me. I don't necessarily have the guarantee of the outcome. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But the one thing that I do know is that the Lord sees my heart, that the Lord values my heart. And through me laying down, Father will teach me in the least, the one guarantee that I have, in the least, He's going to teach me something that I didn't know before. He's going to reveal something to me like He revealed to Abraham when He took Abraham to the altar to be slaughtered. He revealed to him that I love you so much that I will give you a substitute. I'll give you a sacrificial lamb because you committed your heart to me. You already laid down the love of your son in your heart towards me. As much as you love him, you said, I'm going to do this. And because you were willing to follow through, I'm willing to give you a substitute. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us that let's look into our hearts. Let's listen to what the Lord is saying, because the Lord is speaking. One of the ways that we get recognized as being Christians is that we hear the Lord's voice. And in hearing His voice, I'm sure Father's asking something of us in different degrees and in different situations. So ask yourself, what is Father asking of you? What is Father asking of you to lay down? What is Father asking you to sacrifice that you are holding on so dearly because you value it so much? But yet, when you release that thing, Father is able to put more in your hand. So let us ask ourselves, are we being disobedient when Father is talking to us about sacrifice? And again, not just about sacrificing out of the pocket. It could be sacrifice in relationship, sacrifice in food, whatever. Sacrifice in habits. So that is my message for today. And I just want to pray, and as I invite Brother Ernie up here, I just want to pray, Father God Almighty, I ask of you, Lord, that the words that I spoke today, Lord God Almighty, that the words that I spoke this morning, Father God, may there be nuggets of gold in there for each and every one of us, Father God. Father God, reveal to us the areas in our hearts, the areas in our lives, Father God, where we are unwilling to sacrifice, Father God. Where we are unwilling, Father God, to demonstrate how much we love you. If it is a lack of love that we have, Father God, reveal that to us. Reveal that to us, Father God, so that we can understand that it's about love, Father God, so that we can push deeper and further, Father God, in giving up that which we value for the sake of another, Father God. For the sake of our relationship with you. I pray, Father God Almighty, that this message becomes part of my life, Father God. That I can be seen as someone, Father God, who's not afraid to sacrifice for you. And I pray that for my brothers and sisters too, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.
All my life you have been faithful. so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of thy goodness above. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire and darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Yes. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, all my life you have been faithful. Yes. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. With my life laid down, surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness, Lord, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. All my life you have been faithful, yes, God. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life, oh, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good, Lord. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
praise your name, Father God. We praise you for your goodness, Father God. We praise you for your kind-heartedness, Father God. We praise you for your sacrifice, Father God. We praise you, Christ Jesus, for giving it up for us, Father God. Christ Jesus, we praise you for the cross. We praise you for rising up after the cross. Thank you, God, for raising Jesus, our brother, after the cross. We thank you, Lord. You have been so, so good to us, Lord. We give you praise, Father God. We praise you, Lord, for what we have now. We praise you for our homes, Father God, our lives. We praise you for our families, Father God. We praise you for the health in our families, Father God Almighty. We praise you for our children, Father God, our marriages, Lord. We praise you for our homes, Father God. We praise you for our motor vehicles that we have. We praise you for our jobs, Father God Almighty. We praise you, Father God Almighty, for the community that we have, for our friends that we have, Father God. We praise you for the food in our cupboards, Father God. We praise you for the money in our bank accounts, Father God Almighty. We praise you, Lord, for everything that we have. We praise you for our city, Father God. We praise you for giving us Hong Kong as a safe city, Father God, as a good city, Father God. We praise you for giving us good provision within this city, Father God Almighty. We praise you, Father God Almighty, for giving Hong Kong such a good legislative region, Father God, that we can live a good life, Father God. And Father God Almighty, as we praise you for your goodness, as we praise you for you have been being faithful to us, Father God, and as your word said, Father God Almighty, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Father God Almighty. We want to bring before you, Father God, our community. So let's pray for our community who is suffering from cancer. Let's bring them before the Lord, and let's believe the Lord for his goodness, in his goodness, that they will get healing. We also pray for our community suffering from illness and needing salvation. Let's pray not just for them. Let's not just pray for them and the families, but let's pray for the laborers of the harvest as well. Because whenever there's a harvest, remember when we win souls, it's a harvest. The word teaches us that it's a harvest. So let's pray for the laborers of that harvest. When a harvest needs to be gathered in, you need hands to go and fetch that harvest. So let's pray for the laborers of the harvest, of this harvest, in Jesus' name. Let's also bring before the Lord members in our community with infirmities. And it doesn't just have to be the people on this list. Let's think of anybody else in our society. And I'd like to encourage us to also, when we pray for our brethren with infirmities, to think about people in the buildings where we live. People that we don't know personally. And perhaps get more involved in praying for the people in our immediate life as well, like the security at your building, cleaner, your helper, the guy who washes your car. In Jesus' name. Let's also think of our brothers and sisters who are seeking jobs. Father God, Dan Park's name has been on there for a while now. And Father God, my heart just warms for the purpose of him seeking a job in the US, Father, because he wants to be close to his father. Lord, I just want to declare that I'm sure there's a lot of things that Dan is sacrificing, that he's willing to sacrifice, leaving Hong Kong for, Father God, to be close to his dad. Make it happen for him, Lord. Make it happen for Harris, Father God Almighty, who has laid down a lot in his life, Father God. Make it happen for him, Father God. And for Samuel, Akim, Selena, Tam, and Matthias Weisskopf as well, Father God. Make it happen for them. You open the door, Father God. And you open the door for the right job for them, Father God Almighty. In Jesus' name. May they have the understanding, Father God, when a door appears to be open, that is not a door that was opened by you. And we speak for joy in their hearts, Father God. Joy in their hearts, Father God. Let's also pray for our mission focus as a community. For North Korea, for open doors for ministry, missional opportunities in and partnerships in Asia, and the persecuted churches in the Middle East. Let's also lift up SP gatherings, the weekend gatherings, GIC prison outreach, drug rehab outreach, the migrant workers outreach, Sunday services today with Pastor Bob, Noah's Ark, the worship and hospitality teams, SP Youth Yahweh, SP Indonesia, and spill services and activities, the word that's to be shared in all the meetings. Let's lift up all the gatherings. Let's also raise a prayer for Hong Kong, our city. As we know, our city is engulfed in turmoil and misunderstanding and protest. And let's just lift up our city. Let's lift up Hong Kong. Father God Almighty, open our eyes to where we are lacking, Father God, in our city, Father God. Open our eyes, Father God, to where we are not sacrificing enough on behalf of our city, Father God. Where we are not giving up, Father God. Where we are not giving up because of love, Father God. Father, open the hearts of each and every one, Father God. Believers, protesters, government, the police, everybody, Father God. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that you just come and show up in our hearts. Show up in our hearts, Father God. I'd like to thank you for your attendance this morning, and you're welcome to continue praying and spending time with the Lord, and have a blessed day.